Now, people of God, it is our privilege to go to our God in prayer. Will you join me as we go to our Lord in prayer? Indeed, Father, when sin departs your face, life and health come in their place, and it is because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that we know that spiritual life and spiritual health that you have given to us as a free gift because of Jesus, your Son. And we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you and we worship you. And the song calls us that the choir just sang, so why are men on earth sad? And we confess, Father, even as your people, sometimes the darkness, sometimes the gloom, sometimes the despair and doubt yet creep into our hearts, rises up again from within our corrupt nature. And we ask again, Father, that the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, would shine in our hearts and drive away the gloom, the darkness, the despair, that we would know, regardless of our circumstances, that deep, abiding contentment and joy that comes from knowing you, trusting you, believing you. And so, Father, whatever we're facing in life, as we come in this morning, would you shine your light? Would you strengthen our faith? Would you give us faithfulness? We pray that, Father, especially for Eric Ipple as he donates bone marrow for this little boy on the East Coast. We give thanks to you for his selflessness, loving like Jesus, giving up himself for another. And we pray, God, for him. We pray for this little boy receiving that. We pray, God, for healing. We pray that there would be no complications. We pray, God, that you would use this to bring health to this little boy and your light and life in the midst of all of their darkness. Strengthen the faith of your people through this. We pray that, God, for Katie Schinke battling leukemia, for her mom and dad and her family, God, that you would shine your light in the midst of this really scary time, full of questions, full of wondering, full of asking, what are you doing, Jesus? Would you give courage? Would you give faithfulness? Would you give your comfort that comes by your Spirit and that comes by your Spirit through your people? We pray that, God, for Ray Unger as he continues to battle the coronavirus. We pray for your mercy, Lord. We pray for your miraculous healing, Father. We pray, God, for courage, for strength. We pray that for Eva Walker, for Adam and Adria and their families. We pray, God, that in all of this, your light would shine in the midst of their darkness and chase away their gloom and despair and fill them with hope, hope that comes only from knowing you. And we pray that, Father, especially for all those who are grieving, some who are facing their first Christmas season without a particular loved one, some it's the innumerable times, and yet the grief is still so palpable. Would you comfort, God? Would you shine your light into our dark places and chase away our gloom and our despair? And raise us up with hope into your marvelous light, the light of your Son, Jesus. Would you do that even this morning as we turn now to your word? Shine your light, Father, into our hearts. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. People of God, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's word to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, if you're using the Black Pew Bible there in front of you or underneath you, if you're in the front or back rows, our text can be found on page 857, 857, 857. We'll also have the text on the screen, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read for us beginning at verse 21 all the way through verse 40. Luke chapter 2. When you get there, or if you're using the screen, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? At home also, if you're able, please stand with us. We're one body worshiping our one Lord Jesus Christ together. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. This is the word of the Lord. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray now and give thanks to him for it. Indeed, Father, we give thanks to you for your word. We pray and ask now by your Holy Spirit that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand. Cause us, Father, here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better and so love like you love. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today, this morning, is the third week in our Advent series. I've been calling this series Stories of Faithfulness. It's a series about the everyday folks around Jesus at the time of his birth. And I've tried to shape this series around a particular question each week. So the very first week I asked this, how do you stay faithful when God doesn't give you what you want? How do you stay faithful when God doesn't give you what you want? Then the second week, that was last week, I asked this question, how do you stay faithful when life takes unexpected turns? When life doesn't go like you planned or like you hoped? How do you stay faithful then when life takes unexpected turns? But what about when life is just the same old of everyday living? What about when life is not eventful, when life is not full of surprises, doesn't take unexpected turns? How do you stay faithful when every day feels like Groundhog Day? You guys know this movie, right? Every day just seems to repeat over and over and over. You get up, you get dressed, you have breakfast or coffee, and you go to work or school or to your chores and rinse and repeat, right? The next day, you get up, you get dressed, you have coffee or breakfast, you go to work or to school or to your chores. The next day, you get up, you get dressed over and over. You know, what does faithfulness look like here? What is faithfulness when all the days just seem to run together? No excitement, nothing new, no surprises, just the same old, boring, everyday life. How do you stay faithful then? Our text this morning includes these stories of 3 separate lives. And these are 3 lives that in some ways are stories of the ordinary. Faithfulness through the mundane. Stories of the everyday and the uneventful. The first is the story of Joseph and Mary simply obeying the Jewish religious requirements. Jesus gets circumcised. They go to the temple in Jerusalem in order to fulfill the requirements of purification after childbearing and to dedicate their firstborn son according to the law. And then you have this story of Simeon. We actually don't know very much about Simeon. He's simply a man in Jerusalem. That's all that we know. a faithful, devout believer living in Jerusalem, just an ordinary guy. The same is true of Anna in many ways. Here's a widow, at least 84 years old. We'll talk about that a little later. She might even be older than that. She loves the Lord. She tells people about the Lord, and it's another story of the ordinary, of the everyday faithfulness of God's people. And what I think is pretty cool here is we have this picture of everyday, ordinary faithfulness for every season of life. We have a young couple, newly married with their firstborn child, all the way to a widow late in her years. And these people aren't that exciting, actually. We don't learn anything special about them. There's no stories of a brave defense of the gospel in the face of persecution. There's no stories of miracles, no healings. In our text, there's no casting out of demons. We don't even get a crisis in these verses. No mention of hardship, really. The stories aren't novel. They're not best-selling biographies. They're simply stories of everyday faithfulness. And through them, I think we get a good look and how to stay faithful when life just goes on. Glimpses of how to stay faithful in the ordinary, in the mundane, when every day feels like Groundhog Day and the weeks just kind of run together. So how do you stay faithful when life is ordinary and uneventful? Focus on Christ, be renewed by His Spirit, share His news. This is how we stay faithful when life is ordinary, when life is uneventful. Focused on Christ, renewed by His Spirit, sharing His news. We'll start with focused on Christ. And I want to start this morning with Simeon. Now, in our modern retelling of the story of Simeon and Anna and Jesus in the temple, we often call Simeon a priest, but there's actually no mention of that in our text anywhere. The text simply tells us, verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem. In fact, actually, the way that this story is told makes it seem unlikely he was a priest, because Luke probably would have mentioned that. He describes Zechariah as a priest in chapter 1. In our text, he describes Anna as a prophetess. In our text, this is just a man. He's a believer for sure, righteous and devout. He strives to follow the Lord in his daily dealings, in his everyday life. That's what righteous and devout means here. And then the text says this, verse 25 still, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Do you see that in verse 25? What does it mean that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel? Well, this word consolation, it simply means hope or comfort, right? Comforting hope. It was this key concept for the faithful Israelites because it was a belief that God keeps His promises. It was for the Israelites, this consolation of Israel, waiting for that. It was faith that one day God was going to come and He was going to rescue His people again. He was going to deliver them from oppression, deliver them from evil, deliver them from darkness, set them free to live fully and peacefully as His people. It was faith that one day a Savior was coming to finally fulfill all God's promises, to rescue His people. Part of what Simeon says in verse 29, Lord, now You are letting Your servant depart in peace. Peace here is this ancient Israelite concept of shalom. It's a reference to wholeness, to completion, to life thriving and flourishing. That's shalom. And Simeon recognized that shalom, that peace, that completion, that wholeness, it would come only through this coming Messiah, the coming Savior. Simeon was waiting for Christ to come. His life focused on Christ. His life centered around this expectation that the Christ was coming. His life consumed with preparing himself in anticipation of Christ's coming. And I think it's here that we get a glimpse of faithfulness when life is ordinary and uneventful. I want to point out in our text here, we don't know Simeon's age. We don't know Simeon's vocation. We don't know about any major contribution that Simeon made to society. What do we know? The only things we know is he was righteous and devout. He followed the Holy Spirit. He was focused on Christ. Dear friends, this is what matters in life. It's knowing Jesus. It's following Jesus. It's spending our lives for Jesus. That's faithfulness. That's contribution. That's significance and impact. And in the end, it's the only thing that matters. Did we spend our lives focused on Christ? And I think here's where we could draw parallels between Simeon's life and ours. He was waiting for Christ to come, and so are we. You heard Nate say that this morning, right? This is what Advent is about. They were waiting for Jesus' first coming. We are waiting for Jesus' second coming. We too are waiting for the consolation of Israel. We're waiting for King Jesus to return and make the world new and whole and right again, to gather his people to himself and to deliver us fully and finally from darkness and evil and death. Like Simeon, we're waiting for the coming Christ. And our lives then, like Simeon's, are to be spent focused on Christ. Our lives centered around this expectation that Christ is coming again. Our lives consumed with preparing ourselves in anticipation of Jesus Christ coming again. That's faithfulness. It's a life focused on Christ, lived in anticipation of his coming, lived in anticipation of his return. That's faithfulness when life is ordinary, uneventful. A life spent simply focused on Christ, lived in anticipation of his coming. But it's hard some days, isn't it? I want an exciting life, right? We want the eventful. We want to contribute. We want to have impact. We want to be world changers and influencers, don't we? I mean, as we turn and look at the life of Anna. How do you live for 85 years as a widow? How do you not grow bitter in your loneliness? How do you avoid getting sucked into a life chasing after something new, something exciting, something eventful? How do you stay faithful in the long run? Well, it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Daily renewed by Christ's own Spirit. And we see that in the story of Anna. Renewed by his Spirit. So first here, just a quick minute on Anna's age. The text of Luke, the gospel according to Luke, it's originally written in Greek. And the Greek here actually is a little bit unclear. A sentence in verses 36 and 37, early enough are clear enough, right? Anna gets married pretty young, maybe as early as 13, just like Mary. But her husband dies 7 years later. So she's maybe 20 when he dies. But what's not clear is what comes next. In Greek, the rest of verse 37 could mean that she was currently 84, or it also could mean, you'd see this probably in your footnote of your Bible, that she was a widow for 84 years, making her about 104 or so. Both of these are possible in our text. What's most relevant for us today here is how she spends those years. Verse 37. She spends them in the temple, worshiping, fasting, praying night and day. Here I think we see this renewal that comes from the Holy Spirit. It takes place through what we in our tradition we call the ordinary means of grace. Now this phrase, means of grace, it's a phrase that simply refers to those means by which God gives his people his grace. Hence the phrase, means of grace. How does God strengthen us? How does God help us? How does God give us perseverance? How does God renew us by his Spirit? It's through the ordinary means of grace. And I love the phrase ordinary because it refers to the normal ways that God gives grace to his people. The everyday ways, the ordinary ways that God gives to us grace. So what are the ordinary means of grace? They are his word, prayer, and the sacraments, right? Baptism and our weekly gathering around this table. These are the normal, the everyday, the ordinary ways that God's people are renewed by the Spirit of Jesus Christ through his word, through prayer, through the sacraments, our gathering weekly around this table here. These are the normal, everyday ways that God renews us. And these, I want to call them our rhythms of grace, are the means by which we're renewed by the Spirit of Christ. That means then, friends, if you want to be renewed by the Holy Spirit, give yourselves to these ordinary rhythms of grace. daily time in Jesus' word, daily time with Jesus in prayer, weekly gathering with God's people around his table. And look, friends, these things here, they're not empty rituals, right? They're not mindless things we just do. These are lifelines. These are alignment tools. These are guardrails. They are sustenance and life for our regular renewal so we might live faithfully in the ordinary and in the everyday. Give yourselves to these rhythms of grace. Daily time with Jesus in his word, daily time with Jesus in prayer, weekly gathering with God's people around Jesus' table. We see that in the life of Anna. It's what sustains her day in and day out. The regular renewal of the Holy Spirit through the ordinary rhythms of grace. We see it in Mary and Joseph too, actually. Also, verse 21, they circumcise Jesus. You say, well, so what's the big deal that they circumcise Jesus? Well, this is one of the primary Old Testament sacraments. It was the means of grace, of initiation into the visible church. So before Jesus' resurrection, the sacrament was circumcision. After Jesus' resurrection, this sacrament of grace, of initiation into the visible church, is instead baptism. And so what we see here in verse 21 is that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are making use of the ordinary means of grace, the ordinary rhythms of grace. So we see in verse 22 also. In Jewish religious practices, a woman, after childbirth, she would go to the temple 30 days later and bring a sacrifice. Additionally, in remembrance of their exodus out of Egypt, their salvation from slavery and bondage in Egypt, Israelites would dedicate their firstborn child to God through this similar rhythm of traveling to Jerusalem, going to the temple for worship. These are ordinary rhythms of grace that God had given to his people. They were the means by which his people are strengthened, right? Renewed by the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's what we see in verse 39 also. Chapter 2, verse 39. I ended our reading a little early. Sorry for that. Luke chapter 2, verse 39 and 40. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Look what it says in verse 39. Joseph and Mary performed everything according to the law of the Lord. There's nothing fancy here. There's nothing extraordinary. There's nothing novel. We're not going to write a best-selling biography here. It's simply ordinary, everyday faithfulness from God's people. Daily obedience. Daily rhythms of grace by which God's people are renewed by the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is what sustains us. This is what keeps us going. Again, these aren't empty rituals. Reading your Bible, praying, sharing this table together, they're not meaningless, superstitious motions. No, friends, these are your guardrails and your lifelines because they are the ordinary, the everyday means by which God's people are renewed by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Give yourselves to these rhythms. Daily time with Jesus in his word, daily time with Jesus in prayer, weekly gathering with God's people around the table. That's how we make it. That's how we stay faithful when life is ordinary and uneventful, through this consistent daily rhythms of grace. It's actually how we're sustained when life takes unexpected turns and doesn't go like we hope either. These are our guardrails, our lifelines, our nourishment, our life. It's how we stay faithful when life is ordinary and uneventful. Give yourselves to these rhythms, ordinary rhythms of grace, daily time with Jesus in his word, daily time with Jesus in prayer, weekly gathering with Jesus' people around his table. So what is faithfulness? What is faithful following of Jesus when life is ordinary and uneventful? It's a life simply focused on Christ and lived in anticipation of his coming. And it's life being renewed for that focus on Jesus by his Spirit through these daily, ordinary, weekly rhythms of grace. And then last this morning, it's telling people Jesus' story. Sharing the story of Jesus with any who will listen. It's sharing his news. If we stay here with Anna, look what happens to Anna once she encounters Jesus. Verse 38. Coming up at that very hour, her encounter with Jesus, she begins to give thanks to God, to worship, and to speak to him, speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She worships God, and then she goes and she tells everybody she knows this news about Jesus Christ, the news of Christ's coming. That's actually the very hope that Simeon heralds in his poem earlier in the text. If you look at verse 32, he says, "This child, the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus, this child is a light for the Gentiles." Gentiles is simply the Jewish word for everybody who's not Jewish, for the whole rest of the world, for the nations. Simeon is saying here that this Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, he's the hope for the whole world, for every nation, for every tribe, for every tongue, for every people group. Jesus Christ is the hope of nations. That's why Anna's telling everybody, the Savior has come. And I really love this reminder from Anna. She's at least 84 years old. She might be 104 years old. Remember, the Greek here is vague. Whether it's 84 or 104, she's still telling people about Jesus. Friends, you don't retire from following Jesus. You don't age out of sharing his news. I mean, sure, it might look different in different seasons of life, but from beginning of life to end of life, God calls us to share his news with those around us, inside the church and outside. Anna's in the temple telling people about Jesus, anyone who will listen. Simeon is reminding us this news is for all the nations, for the whole world, inside the church, outside the church, sharing his news with anyone who will listen. This is faithfulness. It's right where you are, wherever God has placed you, whatever season of life you're in, whatever age or stage or role or position, living focused on Jesus, renewed by his Spirit, and sharing his news with all those around you. The good news about Jesus, the hope of nations. This is Mary and Joseph. It's Simeon. It's Anna. These are glimpses here into ordinary lives, especially in the cases of Anna and Simeon. These folks aren't known for any major contribution in the world. They're not known for their business success. They're not famous because of their kids or because of their grandkids. They're not celebrated as heroes or influencers. They're simply known for their everyday, ordinary faithfulness. How do you stay faithful when life is ordinary? How do you stay faithful when life is uneventful? By living a life simply focused on Christ, living in anticipation of his coming, of his return. It's making use of the daily and weekly means of grace, the rhythms of grace by which we are renewed by the very Spirit of Christ. And it's sharing this news with anyone who will listen, sharing the story of Jesus with the people around you, focused on Christ, renewed by his Spirit, sharing his news. Will you pray with me? And so, Father, we give thanks to you for your word, this means of grace, for prayer, this means of grace, the sacraments, baptism, and the table, these means of grace, these means by which you renew your Spirit in us. And, Father, we confess that sometimes we get bored with life. We want something exciting or new or different when our days run together, when life just seems to bleed out of us, moving one day into the next, weeks and months and years. We want impact and we want contribution. We want to matter. Father, would you help us to see that this is faithfulness, living in anticipation of you coming. Spending time with you each day and with your people each week. Telling those around us of who you are and what you're like. Telling your story. Would we be caught up in our role in that story instead of chasing another role that seems to us more exciting? And so, Father, as we gather now around your table, would you use this ordinary rhythm of grace, eating and drinking with your people, to renew us in faithfulness? For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.